9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show on News Talk 790 KFYO and online at KFYO.com. A lot to get into on the program today. We'll continue to take your phone calls and your thoughts on the Texas Tech football player. Very interesting story that we'll talk about throughout the program today. We've also got Eric Holder's comments and reaction to Eric Holder's comments and much more. And, you know, we always like to visit with the candidates running for office here on the show. And numerous times, well, most of the time, it's Republicans running for office calling us. But every now and then, the Democrats reach out to us as well, which we always like. We always like hearing from the Democrats running for office. And joining me to discuss his campaign for Texas Land Commissioner. Sir, thank you for coming on to the program. John Cook, running for Texas Land Commissioner, will be in Lubbock, Texas today. Mr. Cook, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Chad. Thank you so much for letting me call in and let your listeners hear a little bit about me and why I'm running for Texas Land Commissioner.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Tell folks a little bit about yourself, those who have not heard about John Cook.
Well, I guess my claim to fame right now is that I'm probably the longest-serving elected municipal official in the city of El Paso's history. I served on city council for 6 years, served as the mayor of the city for 8 years, and was termed out last June, and decided that I was going to, I'm only 67 years old, so I think I still got some air left in my tires and figured that I'd run for Texas Land Commissioner. And I think I really bring a nice skill set to the table for that office, having served 14 years in municipal government. A large organization, 6,200 employees. We had 2,200 police officers alone. And 25 years of experience with the telephone company. As a matter of fact, when I worked with the phone company, I worked in Lubbock for a while. Lubbock, Amarillo, Plainview, Abilene, Amarillo, all along the panhandle. And even though my base was out of El Paso, so I'm very familiar with this area of the country. And
Let me ask you something. You obviously you've been in El Paso. You've traveled across the state. You said you're 67 years old. You still have some air in the tires. This is an uphill battle for you. You know, a Democrat running in Texas in a red state. This is a down ballot race that not a lot of people are paying attention to. You're running against a guy who has a lot of name ID for a pretty famous last name. Why did you decide to run?
Well, you know, I actually got into a little bit of a discussion with Jerry Patterson, the current land commissioner, over a rock quarry that he was authorizing on land that belonged to the city of El Paso, but fell under an act that very few people even knew about called the Relinquishment Act, which back in 1865, the state was selling public lands. And we were a republic back then, but they're selling public lands and relinquishing, the owners had to relinquish the rights to the minerals and other assets. Typically, that was considered subsurface assets, if you had to mine it in order to get it. But the newest interpretation of the law is that it even includes the surface assets. And why that impacted the city of El Paso is we had just spent millions of dollars doing a master plan for over 2,000 acres of land, had the parks laid out where they were going to go, the golf courses where they were going to go, the schools where they would go, the streets. And then all of a sudden we have a cement quarry that's put up there. And the general land office, which the commissioner sits over, was the one who had authorized it. So I had asked, at a minimum, can you at least do a public hearing so people know who to blame for this, not to be blaming the city council? And the response we got back from the general land office is that would be a public relations nightmare. Well, you know, having served 14 years in municipal government, I stand for transparency in government and for people to be accountable for their actions. And so it just really went against my grain. And I decided that I would go ahead, and if I didn't like the way the office was being run, I would run for it.
Visiting with John Cook, running for Texas Land Commissioner. What are some of the changes that you would like to see made, besides the one you've been talking about? And I assume that you would also say transparency just in general. But what are some other changes that you would make if elected? And look, I'm assuming that running as a Democrat in a red state, you're going to want some Republicans to switch over and vote. So how do you reach out to those Republicans? What do you say to them to convince them to vote for you?
Okay, well, this let me answer the second half of your question first, and that's, you know, why would I appeal to Republicans? And the reason is I'm a conservative Democrat. My wife and I are both pro-life Democrats. My opponent in this race is running on the fact that he's pro-life, pro-gun, pro-energy independence. Well, you know, I've got 6 children, 11 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren, so I guess that makes me the procreation candidate. But I'm a very conservative, Democrat. I own several firearms myself. I actually went through the police academy and was trained on the M4 assault weapon when I was the mayor. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran. My daddy was a World War II hero. And, my son just recently returned from Afghanistan. So, I mean, our family has a proud tradition of military service, which is one of the responsibilities of the office, veterans issues. The commissioner is responsible for Texas veterans programs, including veterans homes, the Texas Veterans Cemetery program, and a very successful land loan program. But more importantly, I bring a lot of experience to the table, 25 years of communications management experience. Was just retired 22 years ago from the telephone company after a nice career with them. And the commissioner is responsible for $29 billion worth of state assets. That's mostly land assets, but it also includes mineral, oil, and gas royalty revenues. And the purpose of those assets is it's used to fund the permanent school fund. That's education of our children, grades K through 12. So I'm passionate about veterans issues and passionate about educating our children. I am conservative, and this office, in my humble opinion, doesn't really need a Democrat or a Republican. It needs somebody who cares about the state of Texas, who cares about education, who cares about veterans, and that's me.
Let me ask you, obviously you bring up veterans, that's going to make everyone think about the VA, all the trouble the VA has had. What are your thoughts overall and what has been happening with the VA under this administration?
Well, you know, I just recently had a nice conversation with Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who represents the El Paso district. He and I served on city council together. And the solution is twofold. First, I think the Congress is making the right decision right now in order to use the TRICARE model so that the public sector doctors and physicians and other folks can get out there and give service to our veterans as a stopgap measure. I also agree with the president that what's needed right now is to increase funding so that we can hire additional people to service our veterans. But the biggest part of the scandal, I think, is, and what has most people upset, is that lack of honesty and transparency when people are cooking the books in order to make it look like they're doing a good job so they can get their raises when veterans are waiting for services. That just doesn't go well with people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. I think they really feel offended that had happened. And unfortunately, the head that rolled, which was at the top of the ladder, I think that there's heads that have to roll in the middle of the ladder too. Some of the people who were administering these programs, taking credit for things that they weren't doing, and hiding the fact that we had some real significant problems addressing our veterans.
Sure.
And those veterans, by the way, when they went off to serve in the military, they were given a promise. And the promise was from the American people that you serve our country, and when you come back, we'll make sure we take care of you. That's a promise that we have to live up to. and it's going to cost money to do it. Unfortunately, the model that we had for caring for our veterans was that we would be caring for the folks who got a little older and had served back a number of years before. But today's reality is we have veterans who are coming in who are still young in their lifetime, have serious traumatic brain injuries, have serious post-traumatic stress issues, had done multiple deployments to combat areas. So the model that was geared for my dad's generation, the Korean vets, and the Vietnam vets no longer works. It's a broken system, needs to be repaired, and I think the American people deserve to have it repaired. And definitely our veterans need it to be repaired.
Visiting with John Cook, Democrat running for Texas Land Commissioner. Had a caller who asked this question, and, you know, if elected, look, every elected official in Texas is going to be working on this problem. What we have down on the border with this surge of illegal immigration that's going through. Number one, how do you think the president has handled the situation? How do you think the state has handled the situation? And what would you like to see be done differently?
Well, you know, I think the biggest problem that I have with the way things are going right now is all the finger pointing, people trying to blame somebody for a crisis that is happening in another country. And if you just look at the humanitarian aspect of this, look at the number of refugees that are seeking asylum in other countries across the world because of war-torn conditions. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them that are fleeing violence in their countries. And this issue that's in three countries in South America, or South and Central America, is just indicative of a worldwide problem.
Do you think that the people coming over here are refugees?
Yes, I do, because I think they're fleeing violence, they're fleeing gang violence. And remember, what's feeding that violence is the United States' appetite for drugs. I mean, that's how we've empowered the people who are organized gang members in Honduras and other countries. That's what the root of the problem is. And until we address the America's insatiable appetite for drugs, we're just going to continue to empower people to abuse other folks.
But two more things on this. If they're refugees, because there's a lot of language that gets thrown around, if they're refugees instead of illegal immigrants, and you said that you consider them refugees, does that mean they should be able to stay in the United States?
No, I don't think so. And my opinion is, and you know, and I'm speaking right now not just as a candidate for public office, but I'm also the executive director of the U.S.-Mexico Border Mayors Association. There's 37 mayors from both sides of the border that belong to that organization. And the folks in Mexico are just as concerned about this, because what we really need to do, in my opinion, is to empower and help the Mexican government to secure their southern border, because that's where the immigration actually starts, and how they can control these people that are traveling through Mexico to get to the United States. If we can cut it off there, I think we stand a better chance of solving the problem. But to the real question that you asked, should they be allowed to stay here? The answer is absolutely not, because what we would do is just encourage more people to try to get here. And remember, these are just young men and women that are trying to flee violence and terrible condition in their own country. I think we need to make the outreach to try to help those countries address their problem so that it doesn't become our problem.
John Cook, running for Texas Land Commissioner, Democrat here in Texas. John, I know you're going to be in Lubbock today. Go ahead and tell folks about your event.
Yeah, I'm going to be running up to the Meadows Courtyard for the Buddy Holly concert series that's taking place. And then there's a reception that's going to happen afterwards at the Tornado Gallery. I'll be there meeting and greeting people, shaking hands if they want to shake my hand, telling them why I think I'm the better candidate for this office, about the experience that I bring to the office and my vision for the general land office. And and seriously how it impacts them in their daily lives as we try to educate our children and take care of our veterans.
Hey, before I let you go, I have one question, because you said you consider yourself a conservative Democrat, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The top of the ticket, Wendy Davis. How much do you agree with Wendy Davis when it comes to the issues? Where's some disagreement with her?
Well, you know, I understand, and I've told people this, that CNIM, and I guess you're talking about the pro-life, pro-choice issue mainly, because that's, I think, the big issue that catapulted her into running for governor was that issue. It gave her her moment of fame. My wife and I, as I told you, are pro-life Democrats. We believe in a lot of the civil rights issues. That's what made us become Democrats in the first place. But I don't agree with everything in the Democratic Party platform, and I don't disagree with everything in the Republican Party platform. And what I would like to see, no matter who gets elected, is for people to start putting their partisan politics feelings aside once they get elected, and just work on the governance of the state and the governance of the nation. That's what really needs to happen. On this particular issue of pro-life, pro-choice, I'm in disagreement with Senator Davis. I've known her for years. My wife and I consider her to be a good friend. But politically, I don't think anybody agrees 100% with anybody else.
Sure. John Cook, appreciate your time today, and appreciate you coming on the show. You're the only Democrat, congratulations, who has wanted to appear on this show. So appreciate you coming on. Cook for Texas.
One last comment, sure. If I make it, and that's that the strategy that we have to win this election is called the F-150 Tour Across Texas. And my wife and I have put 13,000 miles on our pickup truck in the last 2.5 months. We've been to half of the 254 counties in Texas, just getting out, meeting people, the good old-fashioned way, grassroots sure. politics.
That's great. Hey, Cook for Texas, four is spelt out, cookfortexas.org. John Cook, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.